Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today is our first show in March, and as I promised, we're going to shift over to history. And when we talk about the history, it's about the story or the history of the practice called Usuishiki Ryoho that Hawaii Otakata brought with her from Japan to Hawaii, and then eventually to many, many people in the world. It's my pleasure today, through the efforts of myself and of Bert, who is a wonderful man who is helping me engineer these programs. We're bringing you the version of Hawaii Otakata as she tells the story of her master, Mikao Usui. She, of course, did not meet Mikao Usui or learn from him, but learned from his student, Shujiro Hayashi. It's a very special time for me because, as everyone knows, the history has been questioned and researched and sometimes validated and sometimes there's a mystery. What I'd like for you to do in the next moments is to put your hands on yourself, get into a good space, listen to her voice, listen to the woman who, when she was 32 years old, she met Reiki. And her life was saved. And she was able to parent her daughters way past their childhood. She was able to bring Reiki to many people in the Hawaiian Islands and eventually to bring Reiki to the mainland, initiate 22 masters that we know of. And these masters in 1979 began to travel all over the world, and because of that, we all have Reiki. It's an amazing thing to imagine that one woman, just following her heart, just understanding what happened under her hands, and having the conviction of knowing and trusting her teachers, that she was able to make and touch so many people and make such a difference in their lives. The recording that we're going to play for you today has been distributed by Paul Dennis and Margaret Palfrey from the United Kingdom through Reiki Visions. .com. That's R-E-I-K-I V-I-S-I-O-N-S .com. I really would appreciate it if you would connect with them if you want to have a recording of this, because their recording will be much better. Though the recording itself is, of course, very sketchy because it was made on a very old tape in 1979 and then remastered to a digital signal and then transferred from computer to computer. So we've done the best we can. Sometimes there are missing pieces, and I believe that the end of her story about Mikao Usui is not there because we couldn't retrieve it from the CD. But if you order the CD from Reiki Visions, you'll get the whole story. I want to present this as her student and also as a student of Reiki, because for me, the oral tradition so lives on when I hear her voice. Memories come back to me. something is touched deep inside of me. Something that she carries and brings to us from her Japanese roots, from the roots of a very traditional way of teaching, and also from her own years and years of experience of Reiki. Thank you for joining us today, and I leave you now to listen to Hawayo Takata talk about Mikao Usui. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll see you next week for a discussion about history.
Who is the originator of the Usui, the Reiki Ryoho, that is in Japanese, which means Usui Reiki system of natural healing. And at this time, in the beginning of the story, Dr. Usui was the principal of the Doshisha University in Kyoto, also minister on Sundays, and at the university they had a chapel. So he was a full-fledged Christian minister, and my teacher, who was Dr. Hayashi, was his pupil, and also he carried on the work after Dr. Usui's passing. So in other words, Dr. Chujiro Hayashi was his number one disciple. And this is through Dr. Hayashi that I have learned about Dr. Usui. I have never met him. And he said that Dr. Usui was a genius, very, very brilliant, intelligent, great philosopher, and a great scholar. One day on Sunday, he was at the podium giving Sunday service or lecture. And that day he found there were about half a dozen students on the front pew. Usually the students of the university sit in the back. Then he said, "Good morning, everybody." He said, "I am going to deliver our regular Sunday sermon." And then one of the boys raised their hand. And he recognized him and he said, "Yes. What is it?" And this young man said, "We who are sitting here are some of the graduate students which are going to, in 2 months, we'll be leaving this school. We'll be graduating this university. But we would like to know for our future whether you have absolute faith in the Bible." And Dr. Usui said, "Certainly, I do. And that is why I am a minister. And I accept the Bible as it reads." So Dr. Usui was surprised to be asked. And then the boy said, "I represent this group, this graduating class. And we would like to know more about your faith. Is it because you absolutely have faith in the Bible that you accept the Bible as written?" And he said, "Yes, because I have faith in Christianity, and also I have studied the Bible, and therefore I believe." Then the boy said, Dr. Lutsu, we are young people in our 20s, and we have a very big future, and we would like to clear this once and for all. And if you have so much faith in Christianity, I believe and you believe that Christ was able to heal by laying on him. And Dr. Lutsu said, yes, I believe. And the boy said, we would like to believe as you do. We would like to have that kind of a faith. But we ask you, you are our great master and great teacher. We honor you and we respect you. Please give us one demonstration. So Dr. Lutsu said, what kind of a demonstration? He said, we'd like to see you heal the blind or heal the lame or walk on the waters. And Dr. Lutsu said, although I am a good Christian and I have faith and I accept the Bible as it is and I know Christ did it, but I cannot demonstrate because I did not learn how to do it. So the boy said, thank you very much. Now we shall choose our way and what we believe is we can only say that you believe in the Bible as a blind faith. And we do not want to have blind faith and then to live all our lives. We want at least to see one demonstration so that we will be able to follow you and accept and to have faith like you. So Dr. Lutsu said, well, since I cannot demonstrate at this time, let us not argue about it. But someday I would like to prove it to you. And when I find the way, I shall come back and I shall show you and I can demonstrate, I hope. And with this, I resign as of now. Immediately, I will step down and I will put in my resignation as minister of Dorsusha and also principal of this university. And he said, tomorrow, being Monday, I shall start on a visa. And I shall go to a Christian country to study the Bible and to study Christianity in a Christian country. And I might find the answer. And when I do, I shall come back. And I shall let you know that I can do what you have requested. And he said goodbye. And he left the church at that time. And next day, Dr. Lutsu started to apply for visa. And he chose America. And when this was all done, he took the boat and he came and traveled by train and he entered the University of Chicago. He studied philosophy, but number one, he wanted to study the Christianity and also the Bible. And when he went through the studies in America, he found that the Bible and the Christian school that he went to were identical, the teachings were the same. And he could not find in the Christian Bible, even in America, where Christ had left the formula of the healing. So, being in this university, where they had philosophies of the world, he went into other philosophies. He studied Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, and of course, Buddhism. When he came into Buddhism, he found a passage where it said that Buddha healed by laying on the hands. He healed the blind, tuberculosis, and also leprosy. When he found this out, he said, I should further my studies in Buddhism and to find out whether Buddha has left any kind of a formula for the healing art. So Dr. Usui spent 7 years in the United States, and then he said, it is time for me to go back to a Buddhist country and to study Buddhism and find the home. Then when he arrived in Japan, he did not waste any time. He landed in Kyoto, where he lived before. And he went through all the great monasteries. And even today, Kyoto is a mecca of temples. And it is a seat. At that time, Nara was a seat of Buddhism. But Kyoto had the most temples and the biggest monasteries in Japan. And so he decided to visit every single one. So he started with the most biggest temple, the Shin. And when he arrived there, he met the monk. And he said, does the Buddhist Bible or the Buddhist sutras say that Buddha healed? Is it written down in your sutras that Buddha had healed leprosy, tuberculosis, and the blind by laying on the hands? And the monks answered, he said, yes, it is written in the sutras. He said, have you mastered the art? Can you do it? And the monk said, well, in Buddhism, physical is very important, but we consider the church or ministry is to minister the people so they have better minds. We want to straighten their minds first so they become more spiritual and then more show more gratitude and learn all the better things of life. And this is a temple or a church. And we monks do not have time for the physical. And we think the spiritual growth, spiritual healing is first. Dr. Usui bowed and said, thank you. And he walked away and he went to the Kyoto. Then he went also to the different temples. And everyone had the same answer. They said, yes, it is registered in the sutras. And therefore we accept and we believe that Buddha was a healer. But we are trying to heal the mind first. And therefore, we do not know anything about healing the body. After days and days and months of search, Dr. Usui was very depressed. But he did not give up. He said, I have one more place to go. And finally, he landed in a Zen temple. And when he approached the temple, he rang the bell, and a little page boy came out. And he said, I would like to speak to the highest monk of this Zen temple. He said, please come in. And who are you? And she said, I am Yukao Usui. And I would like to study Buddhism. And therefore, I would like to meet the monk. So the message was delivered. And when the monk came out, he was about 72-year-old monk. Very lovely face, like a child. Innocent looking, beautiful face, kindly voice, and very gentle. And he said, come in. And so you are interested in Buddhism. He said, yes, but first, I would like to ask you a question. Do the Zen believe in the healing? He said, yes, we do. It's written in the sutra that the Buddhist, that the Buddha did it. And so in Buddhism, we have the healing. Well, can you heal the physical self? He said, not yet. And so he said, what do you mean by not yet? He said, oh, we monks are very, very busy giving discourses and lectures and preaching so that the mind can be attuned for the spiritual level. And we want to better the minds first before we touch the physical. And then how are you going to get the physical training? He said, that will come. We have not given up, although we do not have it yet. And therefore, the Zen prayers and our chanting of the sutras and reviewing the sutras and our faith is stronger than ever. And we have not lost faith. And someday, during our merit meditation, that we shall receive the great light. And then we shall know. Then we know we are ready. But just at this present, we are striving for it, but we know we are not ready. But before our meditation ends, and before I go into transition, I am sure this will be all be enlightened, and I will be able to do it. And he said, thank you very much. He said, may I come in and stay here and study all the sutras that you have. And also, I would like to hear your lectures on Buddhism because I was a Christian minister and I had faith in the Christian Bible. And I looked all over, yet I could not find any formula of healing, though I believe that Christ did it. He still believed that. And so the monk said, come in. And he said, I would like to join your monks, your priests, and then study here. It took him about 3 years to go all through the sutras in the temple. And when meditation hour came, Dr. Usui sat with the other monks in hours and hours of meditation. And then it became very exhibit to him that this was not enough. So he told the monk, "Thank you very much for your very, very good help and for keeping me here. And I shall like to stay on, and I would like to further my studies." And the monk said, "You are most welcome, because we believe in what you are searching. We believe too. And the only thing that we are doing it, besides prayer, we meditate a lot to receive them. But if you want to further your studies," he said, "do it right here in this temple." So he said, "The Japanese characters that is written in the sutras, all these characters, originally this came from China. We have adopted the Chinese characters as Japanese characters. And so, like when you read the sutras, you cannot understand, but it's just like English people reading Latin. Yeah? You know, but the characters are read as written." He could do it. So finally he went very deep into the Chinese characters and became a master of the Chinese characters. And after that was completed, he said, "Not enough." He said, "After all, Buddha was a Hindu. And therefore," he said, "I should study the Sanskrit. And if I study the Sanskrit, there may be something in Sanskrit taken note by the Buddha's disciple." Because Buddha had many, many disciples, and that's how the scriptures were written. And so, when he went into studying the Sanskrit, and when he really studied very hard to master it, he found the following. Just as plain as mathematics. Nothing hard, but very simple. Like 2 and 2 equals 4, 3 and 3 equals 6, as simple as that. And so he said, "Very well," he says, "I found it. But now I have to try to interpret this, because it was written 2,500 years ago, ancient." He says, "I don't know if this will work or not, but I have to go through that test. And going through this test," he said, "I cannot guarantee myself whether I will live through it or not. But if I don't try the test," he says, "everything will be lost. We'll go back to zero." And so he talked over with the monk, and the monk said, "Yes, you are a very courageous man. And then where are you going to test us? Right in this temple?" He said, "No. I would like to go up into the mountains." And this was in Kyoto also. Then he went up to Mount Kurayama. And he said, "I will test myself for 21 days. And if I do not come back on the night of the 21st day," he said, "on the 22nd day morning, send out the searching party into the forest to find my body. I may be dead." And so with that farewell, he left, and he said, "I shall go on 3 weeks meditation without food, only water." So he took some water up, and he found up in the mountains where he found a stream that was close to water. And therefore he sat under a big pine tree, and he started his meditation. But before he sat down, he had no timepiece, no watch, no calendar. And so how was he going to know 21 days? So he gathered 21 small rocks or stones and then piled it in front of him. And then he water jug, and he knew where to get more water if he ran out. And there he started his meditation. And so he said, this is the first day. And then he threw one rock up. And that's how he counted his days. And he said he expected some kind of a phenomena, but he didn't know what. He didn't know what to expect. And all this time, Dr. Usui, very faithfully, he read the sutras, chanted, meditated, and then he only drank water. And every day came, then another day. Feynman came the morning of 21st. He said that was early morning. And he said the darkest of night is in the earliest of morn. Before sunrise is the darkest. That's how he witnessed. There was not even one star, no moon or any kind of a light. He said the sky was just as dark as it could be. And when he finished his meditation, and he said he opened his eyes and looked into the dark sky, and all he was thinking was, this is my last meditation. And then he saw a flicker of light, only large as a candlelight, in the dark sky. And then he said, oh, now this phenomenon. He said, very strange, but he said, it is happening, and I'm not going to even shut my eyes, or I shall open my eyes as wide as I can, and to witness what happens to them. And the light began to move very fast towards him. Then he said, oh, the light. Now, I have a chance to shift the light or dodge. What shall I do? Then he said, even if the light strikes me, and if I fall, and if I, the combat is so severe that I might drop, or I might burn. He said, this is the test. He says, I'm not going to run away. I'm going to face it. And when he faced it, he began to embrace himself more, you know, and to say that, come. And this to say, come and hit me. I'm ready. And with that, he relaxed. And his eyes wide open, he saw the light strike in the center of his forehead. And naturally, he said, with a contact, he said, that was, it was the force was so great. But then he said, I died because I had no sense, no feeling. My eyes were shut. And my eyes were open, but I couldn't see them. And then he said, I don't know how long, how many minutes I was down. But, he said, when I looked, he said, That light was gone, but I could see it was beginning to have daylight. And far away, I could hear the roosters crowing. And far away, I could see that there were movements. And then I know the day was going to be dawn pretty soon. Then he happened to look a little on the right side. And then he saw from the right side of his face millions and millions of bubbles. All came out bubbling up, millions and millions and millions of bubbles. And these bubbles all had colors. And they had the colors of the rainbow. And they said they danced in front of him and then went to the left. And when that went, he said, another streak of light. This time, he said, the color of another rainbow. He said, the blue came out. And then went through the right to the left. And then he says the lavender came out. And then he says the rose came out. And then the yellow came out. And he said he was counting those colors. And it had the seven colors of the rainbow. And so Dr. Usui said, wow, this is a phenomenon. I must not forget. Then last of all, he saw the great white light come from the right and then like a screen. He said, stood right in front of him, like a screen. And when he glued his eyes to the screen, he said what he had studied in the Sanskrit, what he saw and studied in the Sanskrit, he said, one by one came out, and then in golden letters, he said, they just radiated out in front of him as if to say, remember, remember. And so he said, he didn't even blink his eyes, but he just studied and studied, and he said, yes. He said, then this one went to the left, another came out. And all that, what he had studied and learned out of the Sanskrit, danced in front of him to say, this is it, this is it. Remember, remember. And so he just glued his eyes, and he said he felt no pain, no hardship, and he said he felt no hunger, no thirst. He said, I began to feel my body would float. And so when all this phenomena had passed on, and he said, I must close my eyes. And for the last meditation, and he did it. And he could see all the glowing letters in front of him. And so he said, now I can open my eyes and throw away the last one. And he said, I'm going to stand up. And he stood up. And he stood up, then he tried his legs. The feet on the ground. And he said, they are strong, except for 21 days, but he said, I feel I can walk back to Kyoto, which was, in Japanese, 17 miles is almost about 25 miles. But I will reach there before sundown. And he did. And he found that as if his body had a big dinner last night, and he said, patted his stomach, and he said, well, That is the first miracle. I'm not hungry, and I feel very light. Then he dusted all the pine cone and the dust and skirt. Then he picked up his cane and his straw hat, and he went down. And when he went down the mountain, and almost to the foot of the mountain, when he stumbled on a little rock and then lifted his toenail, then the blood began to spurt out, and he felt pain. So he said, like anybody else would, I hurt myself. And he took his right hand and held the thumb, the toe. And when he felt the toe, he felt pulsating. Thump, 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 as if there was a heartbeat in him. Then he kept on holding it. Then he said the pain began to go away. And then the blood stopped flowing. And so he said, okay, two hands. And he held it. Two hands. And then when all the pulsation was gone and the pain was gone, then he saw that the blood had all dried up. But the toe had gone back to its normal position, but he could see where all the blood was coming. Then he said, that is the second miracle. Now, he said, I must look for a snack box. And when he looked around, there was a bench with red blankets and an ashtray. Japanese ashtray is a big box with pipes. You know, those with the small pipes. And when you see that in any strange place or any park, that means that welcome, red blanket is welcome. Please sit here. There is a snack bar close by. And so he set his cane and his straw hat and sat down. And then he looked around. He looked around. And in the right-hand corner, he found that there was a snack bar. And a very old man, he had an apron on, unshaved, starting the charcoal stove. You know, like this Japanese hibachi. So he walked up to him and he said, good morning, old man. And the man said, good morning, my dear monk. He said, you are early. He said, yes. I would like to have that box of rice. You know, Japanese leftover rice, they have a bamboo box made, you know. And then they put the rice in there and a cover there, but that rice box. If you have any leftover rice from last night, I would like to have that rice. And as soon as you make your tea, I would like to have that piece of nori that you ate today. I would like to have that nori and also salted cabbage, and also dried fish, if you have any. That is regular Japanese breakfast. And he said, I shall wait for you at the bench. And so this old gentleman said, I would love you to have the rice, but you have to wait until I make a soft rice gruel. Like mush. He said, according to your dirty face, you know, that means it's Dr. Usui's dirty face, is a beard. He said, many people go up this mountain. This is known as a very famous mountain for meditation. And when they come down in 7 days, 1 week meditation, the beard is much shorter. And then some do 2 weeks But according to your directives, you've been up there 3 weeks. And when you do not eat for 21 days, he said, I cannot let you have that rice and just hot tea and all those things to go with, because you're going to have acute indigestion. And when you have that, he says, I have no use. I have no medicine, and I cannot help you. And therefore, he says, 17 miles away in the city of Tilto, there are doctors, but I cannot reach the doctor. So therefore, he said, you have to wait. So Dr. Wilson said, thank you. You are very kind, but I think I shall try. And so he crawled to the table, on the table, and then went for that rice box. He carried it because he didn't want the old man to take away, and left it by his red bench. And he waited, and in a few minutes, the old man gave up already. He said, well, he wants to do it his way, fine. So Santa Gill was his granddaughter, about 16 years old, and she brought out a tray with a rice bowl, chopsticks, and hot tea, pot of hot tea, and with all the other ingredients to go with the rice. And so she put this on the red bench. And so, but this girl was crying. Tears running down, and not that. Her face was swollen. And she had a big towel here, tied up here like a rabbit ear. And so Dr. Sue looked at her and said, my dear young girl, he said, why do you cry? He said, oh, my dear monk, 3 days and three nights, I have a toothache so bad that I cannot stop my tears. And I cannot eat. I didn't have any kind of a food for 3 days and three nights. And it hurts so much, I cannot stop my tears. And yet the dentist is so far away, I cannot ask my grandfather to take me 17 miles to Kyoto. And therefore, I have to just suffer and cry. But I can't stop my tears. So Dr. Usui stood up and began to dig into his cheek, and he said, is this the one? Is this the one? You know? And then when he came to the wife, and she said, yes, yes, yes. Oh, all right. Then he put his hand here. And then the girl began to blink the eyes, and he said, my dear monk, you just made magic. He said, how do you feel now? He said, the toothache is gone. He said, really? You're telling me the truth? He said, yes. I know I do not have to shed tears anymore. I can stop crying. And then she took off her rabbit ear and wiped her face. And by the time Dr. Usui put two hands on, and then he said, now I think you are well. And the girl smiled, thanked him, and ran to the grandfather and said, grandfather, I took off my rabbit ears. The toothache is gone, and he is no ordinary monk. He makes magic. That's what the girl said. So the grandfather came out wiping his hands on the apron, and he said, my dear monk, you did us a great service. You just did magic on my granddaughter, stopped the toothache. We are so grateful. Oh, we are so grateful because she was suffering. And for our gratitude, he said, the food is on the house, and this is all we can offer because we do not have much, you know. And Dr. Lucy put his hands together and said, thank you. I accept your gratitude. Thank you very much. And he said, all right, now for my food. And he filled the rice bowl and then put the hot tea and started shoveling with the chopsticks. And he ate heartily. So these people didn't disturb him while he ate. But they were wishing that he wouldn't have any kind of indigestion. And so Dr. Usui enjoyed his breakfast this way. And he said, now, he said, this is the fourth miracle. The third miracle was the toothache gone. And he said, I have no indigestion. He says, now I'm ready to start on my 17-mile hike. And by sundown, I shall reach the temple according to schedule. And he did. And when he did, he knocked at the doorbell, and a little page boy came up. And he said, Dr. Usui, we are so happy that you are home, because if you did not come home tonight, you know we are going to send the searching party tomorrow morning as you request. You see, all these little monks in the temple, they are about 6 to 10 years old. You see, but they go in when they are 6 years to study Buddhism. And they are very, very witty and very smart. You see, but that's how he tried to tease him. And he said, first thing Dr. Usui said, how is our dear monk? He said, oh, he's suffering from arthritis, backache, and this is cool evening, so he is hugging the charcoal stove and he is under silk covers. This is what the little page boy said. So if you will, go and take a bath. And while you do this, we'll lay out your clean clothes and warm up your food. And after your dinner, then you will visit the monk who will be waiting for you. And he will be very happy to know that you are home, and I shall deliver that message. So go take your bath. And so he did. And after his dinner, he went to see the monk. And the monk was sure in bed, hugging this charcoal stove. He said, my dear monk, I am back. First thing he asked, he said, how was it? How was your meditation? Success. That is the only word he could use, was success. And the monk said, oh, I feel so happy. I feel so happy. He said, let me hear about it. And so he said, yes. And while I talk to you, he said, I would like to put my hands on some on top of the silk covers. So he had the silk futon covers on him. And then told him all about what has happened, and from the time he sat for meditation and on the 21st morning, and what has happened throughout the day. And then it was late at night already. So he said, very good, very good. We shall hear more about it. And let me think tonight, the monk said. And he said, by the way, my pain is all gone. He said, I can sleep now. I can leave the stove alone. My body feels wonderful. I feel that I am very, very full of energy. And so he said, this is what you call Reiki. He said, yes, Reiki. Yes. But we'll talk more about it tomorrow morning after our breakfast. And so Dr. Usui had a good night's sleep. And so the monk, and next morning after breakfast, first thing Dr. Usui said, what shall I do to experiment this? And so they talked over and over, and their other monks came in, and they decided that the best place for him to experiment was to try and go into one of these very big slums in Kyoto. And so they chose one of the largest slums. And in the slum, they found all kinds of diseases, even leprosy. And so he went there as a monk, dressed up like a monk, but as a vegetable peddler. So he had one basket of vegetables in the front and one in the back, and then he had a pole, and he carried that. And he walked and went into the slum, and all the beggars came out. And he said, oh, we are having different kind of a guest today. And so Dr. Usui said, please. So Dr. Usui started next morning, and he started to heal. But before he started, he chose his client. All the ones that were sick got in a group, and then he chose the young people, because he felt if they are young, the cause must be shallow. So he started to work on the cause and effect, cause and effect. And he was right. The older the person and the deeper the disease, he found it took many days and months. And so when he worked on the shallow cases, in about a week they were all better and ready for new life. So he said, you go to this address. And this was the temple, the Zen temple. And ask for this monk, and he will give you a new name. And he will give you a job. And you go into the city or anywhere they assign you and become an honest citizen. And forget the slum. Now that we have helped you physically, you are a complete fool, you see. And so this went on for years. So Dr. Usui had lots and lots of experiences. So to make a long story short, if you ask me, was he successful? Was he a success? Far from it. Because Dr. Usui, when he left Kyoto and his ministry, he left in search of how to heal the physical. He thought he was a very good minister. So when he came back and went to all the Buddhist temples searching, they, all the monks said, spiritual first, the mind first, and physical second. So why should we bother with the human body when we have medicine and doctors? So Dr. Usui was disappointed, because that was not his aim. His aim was to do something for the body. So he forgot the spiritual side. And then all these people went out of the slum. He was there 7 years. One evening, twilight, he found himself at leisure. So he walked around the compound to see how much accomplishment. Then he found a familiar face. He said, say, I don't know your name, but your face looks familiar. And he said, you too. And you too. But I don't know your name. Who are you? He says, oh, you should remember. He said, I was one of the first guys that came here and got healed. Then you sent us to the temple. And when you sent us to the temple, they gave us a new name. And we had a new job. And so we became honorable citizens, and then we worked. And so Dr. Usui was disappointed. He received the greatest shock of his life. And he just threw himself on the ground, and there was a mud puddle, but he didn't. He had no choice. He just threw himself. And he said he cried and cried like a little child. And he said, oh, what did I do? He said, I did not save a soul. So the physical is number two, and the spiritual is number one. Therefore, all the churches in Kyoto were right. They were right, and I was wrong. And therefore, he says, I'm going to seal, absolutely seal. No beggars, no more beggars. No more beggars. And it was my fault for making them come back here as beggars. You know, he blamed himself. He said, so while his head was in the mud puddle, he began to think. And he said, I forgot to teach them before they left gratitude. All these beggars are here because they are people only greedy, greedy. Give, 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 give. Want, want, want. And nothing to return and nothing to show gratitude. And then he made pilgrimage all over Japan. You know, the main island part from the north to the south on foot. Then he chose big mall where the people will be there. And he took Dr. Usui had this experience at the Vegas camp. And when he was down in this mud, the body in the hole, that's when he's thinking.